Blog Talk Radio.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. We are back live to another crazy edition of the Absolute Truth Show. I am your host, with the most, the king of king himself, the man who always has the plan, and the man in a couple of weeks will be at the head of the table for Thanksgiving. I am the Hot Rod. And on the phone line, he is the reason why we missed last week's show, because he was watching a Giants football game. He is the reason why we missed last week's show, because he was running in a marathon yesterday for 20 miles. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you, God damn it, what's his name again? Oh, Sean Black.
Yeah, Sean Black, who is in the building once again. Thank you very much. And no, I have not run the marathon, but I guess I would have been nice to have one of those nice shiny medals that they get when they do win, go through the marathon. So, yeah.
Well, you know, good for you. I have something nice and shiny for you to shine on later after the show. Oh, how you doing?
Oh,
but besides that,
and it can't be one of those bottles of liquid courage that you swill every other day. So it is what
no.
It is.
Exactly. Well, guys, you know the number, 348. What's the number again? Hold on. I'm screwing up already. Like
you need to, you know what? You need to be sober for the show. Good grief.
Yes. Ladies and gentlemen, the number to call is 347-989-8402. Are you ready to argue with the sober guy, Sean Black?
Oh, good grief. And while we're in the process, let's piss some people off while we're there, too.
True. But first, there's an announcement you'd like to make, Sean Black.
Yes. Just a small little plug for Morton's Law podcast, which is always on Anchor FM, anchor.fm/Morton Law's podcast. Christopher Morton does a great show, talks about sports, talks about wrestling, talks about his life, talks about everything. Not afraid to talk at all about whatever comes to his mind, and always has a unique point of view with that. So you go to anchor.fm/Morton's Law. And you'll be able to listen to his podcast. His episodes are all up and posted so that you can download them when you want, listen to them live when they go, and you have yourself an absolute ball. So there you go. Morton's Law and his podcast.
And also, on Saturday afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and you are huge wrestling fans, Sean, tell them about your second show.
Oh, yes. That's Saturday afternoon's main event, which is been going on for quite some time. It's a rebirth of an old show that came on years ago in New York radio, has now become a podcast with the phenomenal one and the Peach Nate. And they do a great job talking about anything that has to do with wrestling, be whether it's current or anything that's happened in the past. Listen to it. It goes live on Saturdays at 12 o'clock. Listen to it. It's up on YouTube, and you will definitely enjoy that podcast. Just look up same, S.A.M.E, and you'll find the podcast on there and just be able to enjoy it for you to peruse. So there you go. We plugged everything.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much. Now, as always, Sean Black and I, we talk basically every day, like husband and wife. I'm the husband, he's the wife, of course. And we talk about topics.
You wish. Notice how fast he went through that one.
I'm just saying. But we talk about everything, of course, every day. And one thing we always say that Friday, and I think this is Sean Black line, I will wait till Monday because something always happened over the weekend, which is like, you know what, this is like our inside joke type of thing, which is normally true. Something always happened over the weekend. So real quick, Sean Black, in Houston, the Astroworld concert where Travis Scott, the singer, was performing, And, of course, as you heard, 8 people died in a crowd disaster of people stumbling over each other, trying to enter the concert. Of course, the concert was stopped. You know, it's devastating to hear about this and to see the news about this. But, Sean Black, who do you think is at fault overall in this type of situation? Some people, of course, like to blame Travis Scott, because even though he didn't cause the disaster, it was under his and his people watch. Do you blame the promoters? Do you blame the organizers? Do you blame the police department? Who do you think takes blame overall?
Everybody should have a hand in this. And the reason why I say that is because, first off, Travis Scott has, as a performer, being on stage, he can overlook what's going on. But he's so far away from the crowd based on how he was performing. He kind of has no real way of knowing unless one of the producers or somebody in the back is telling him if he has an earpiece that they can let him know what's going on. So that's one thing. Second of all, security knows what's going on because hours before the event started, there was a news crew that was there actually showing live on their news broadcast. People were running through the gates and pushing through. There were people, police officers on horses that were there to help try to kind of corral the crowds, and they had fences and everything, and they bum-rushed right through. Now, this is not the first time that Travis Scott has had some kind of controversy, because in previous concerts, at previous Astroworld events and other concerts around the country that he's done, he's kind of provoked his fans, ignore security, rush the stage. I think in his words he said, I want to see some ragers, because a lot of people that go to concerts that like to body surf in the crowd or like to do raging and do that kind of thing.
Well,
those
that's
are the kinds
of performance. That's
exactly.
Part of the performance sometimes. And the artists, they get a reaction. They get adrenaline or a rush from that type of action going on.
Yes.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yes, but the problem with all of this is, forget about the ones that have happened in the past, because we've seen that, as a matter of fact, Travis Scott was arrested for doing that, inciting a riot. But as you stated, this should not have happened in today's climate. Security is supposed to know what's going on, and there are supposed to be procedures there to let people know that there is, I believe, what they would call an event that would have potential issues with deaths, a rush of people coming to the stage, and then the police are supposed to be in conjunction with security to make sure that that doesn't happen. Also, we're still in the middle of a pandemic. So to have it's supposed to be safer that the fans and people are outside because they're not crammed inside of a building where if you're breathing around each other, and I believe people are supposed to be vaccinated. I'm not
vaccinated.
Fully sure if they were vaccinated to be able to go into the concert. But I'm not sure if it was a requirement, but you still have thousands and thousands of people literally on top of each other. And when you have 8 people dead, 25 injured, and I believe the youngest victim that's involved that is still fighting for their lives in the hospital was a 9-year-old, and you had teenagers that were there. It's sad.
Because the problem with these festivals overall, and someone said that on the news, there's no seating chart.
No.
When you not go to wrestling shows or baseball games, we have to find our seats. These festivals, there's no crowd limit. They just want to buy the tickets and fill the bodies as much as they can, you know. And like I told you earlier, Sean Black, New York, we're not one of those cities that, you know, is organized like that. We host these events all the time outdoors, but we have a good crowd control, you know. And unfortunately, if anything go haywire, you know the cops will do to us in a heartbeat. Thank you for coming. But
yes, the youngest person that passed away was 14 years old. 14, 16, two 21-year-olds, two 23-year-olds, a 27-year-old. And two of them that passed away were best friends and went to the same school. So that's just absolutely tragic.
That's real crazy that, you know, they went to enjoy themselves, to have a blast or a good time. That's the end of that way. But what can I say? You know, this is one of the sad part. But on to other topics right now. This topic got Sean fired last week. Outrage. That his boy, NFL player, Green Bay Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers, had tested positive for COVID-19. That's not a surprise. We know sooner or later, at this point, everyone will be tested for COVID-19. But the issue is that he's unvaccinated. And to make it worse, I could be wrong, and, you know, this story's going back and forth. In the start of the season, he said that he was immune or something like that. Basically,
yes.
Did he lie that he was vaccinated? Did the NFL knew that he was vaccinated and they still let him play? But, Sean, I know you have a lot to say about this. And in addition, Sean Black, who's worse on handling this situation, Aaron Rodgers or Kyrie Irving? Then I give it to Brother B afterwards. But go ahead, Sean.
Okay. Okay. I'm not even going to – I'll preface this by saying we are still in a pandemic. As you always hear me say when we talk about these topics, that's literally everything that we do. But knowing how the NFL went last year with no crowd, we know that the NFL has lost billions of dollars because of the lost revenue of not having having fans in the building and losing a lot of the income that they would normally get. You would figure if we're going to have players play full 53-man rosters in an NFL season and have fans, a couple of things are going to have to happen. One, the fans coming into the building, they're going to need to either be vaccinated or wearing masks. That goes without question.
Or show a proof of a COVID test. A negative COVID test.
Second of all, the other thing is the players have to be vaccinated. Now, the NFL, apparently, they didn't put a gun in anyone's head and say it is a requirement that you have to be vaccinated. But the choice being, if you are not going to be vaccinated, you're going to be tested either every day or every week. You're going to have a mask on during press conferences, off the field, when you're on the sidelines, when you're in training, wherever you are, and you're not going to be able to do certain things with the team that vaccinated players would be. Now, Aaron Rodgers literally told people at the press conference back just before the season started, one of the reporters asked him what his vaccination status was, and he said he was immunized.
Yes, that's the word.
He voluntarily, after he was found out that he tested positive for COVID, went on the Pat McAfee show and explained himself and all of the things that he said, and went into the aspect of saying that, well, I can't take the mRNA vaccines because I am allergic to one of the ingredients in the vaccine. Okay, that's fair enough. So he said he couldn't take Pfizer or Moderna because those are mRNA vaccines. The Johnson & Johnson vaccine, he said he was going to take that, but prior to that happening, he wouldn't be able to take it because of the cases of getting the vaccine and having those heart issues where people were having blood clots.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know how many cases out of the hundreds of thousands and millions of people that took the Johnson & Johnson vaccine? Six. So that debunks that theory. Okay, you're not going to take the vaccine. That's your personal choice. It is the player's choice and responsibility to follow the protocols going in. There is zero possibility that the Green Bay Packers did not know he was not vaccinated, because Rodgers then went to the NFLPA and tried to get a petition to get an injunction so that he could mm-hmm. say that he was immunized, mm-hmm. meaning vaccinated. So it was his wording that he tried to use, and it was shot down. And then the NFL came back and said, literally, you are not considered vaccinated because you did not take any one of those vaccines. You did not have COVID prior and had antibodies from having COVID or any of those. So he lied to his teammates. He lied to the people that were on in the building. And Lord knows anything else that happened prior. Now, the Thursday night game that was on between the Cardinals and the Green Bay Packers, Aaron Rodgers, when the game was over, he was schmoozing around. He was around around players without a mask on, whispering as they usually do when they celebrate at the end of the game, talking, et cetera, et cetera. What if he's shedding virus, unvaccinated, and got other players sick? What if any of those players that did not know that Aaron Rodgers might have been infected passed that along to someone in their family, and then they would have gotten sick? What happens then? The trust of Aaron Rodgers being the leader of that team and his current contract situation being the way it is, where we don't know if he's going to probably be back with the Green Bay Packers after this season, it shows to a lot of folks the arrogance and just utter conceit of Aaron Rodgers to actually lie just to try and be above the team, where most of the rest of the team made the decision to get vaccinated. And there are other players in the league that aren't vaccinated. I'll give you a perfect example. Carson Wentz in with the Colts. He's not vaccinated. But what does he do when he's not on the field playing with the team? When he goes to the sideline, he's wearing a mask. When he does interviews, he's wearing a mask. He's 6 feet away when he has to do interviews. He's off the field, he's wearing a mask. He's doing what the protocols tell him for somebody that is not vaccinated. And that's the difference between what Rodgers did and what Carson Wentz and other players that are like him that made the choice to not get vaccinated are trying to do to become part of a team. And when you're part of a team, you have to think of others other than yourself. And that is where this is absolutely disgusting. And everybody that has been with talk show, talk radio, whatever, who has been dumping on Aaron Rodgers, this is where the scorn comes in. He lied to his teammates. How do they look at him at the same way and say, you know what? He didn't say he told us he was immunized, he was vaccinated, or whatever wording that they gave him. And now he got me sick. And then I brought it home. Now what?
Okay. Thank you for that, Sean Black. The show is over. God, tune in next week for another edition.
See you next year. See you next year. Bye-bye.
All right. Wow. Okay. Brother B, I know you don't watch sports too much, but from what Sean said, do you have anything to add on to that? About basically Aaron Rodgers, quote-unquote, lied, saying that he's vaccinated, but he's not. But at the same time, the media is not going on hard on him compared to Kyrie Irving.
Well, first of all, greetings and salutations, everyone.
Greetings and salutations.
And I will keep with my usual stance, F the NFL and all the owners, because I really don't give a damn. But in this situation, since I'm on the show, I will make a comment because I don't know who Aaron Rodgers is, nor do I really care. It's a game of semantics. They asked him the right question, and he answered it. He didn't lie. He said he was vaccinated. They didn't ask him, did you get the COVID-19 vaccination? They didn't ask him that. They just asked him, what was your vaccination status? And he said he's vaccinated.
He didn't say he was vaccinated. He said he was immunized.
Oh, he was immunized. So, all right.
He said he was immunized.
So, listen, some people see it as all the same thing. A needle, and a shot is a shot. A needle is a needle for a vaccine, whatever. I think some people see it as the same thing. But they let him walk with that. He said he was immunized. No one questioned him after that. So come on now.
But that's
what
the problem. That's the problem that Sean and I we have. Not like he just lied. He said what he said, and the NFL still let him play. Kyrie Irving is, you know, getting hell, which he should. We're not defending Kyrie Irving, right, Sean Black? We're not defending him. But,
well, first of all,
fair is fair.
Well, what I don't agree with is these so-called protocols. Like, listen, if you're not vaccinated, you need to wear a mask 24/7. Wear one while you're playing, while you're practicing, while you're sitting on the side, because then that's being fair. But to take it off while you're practicing or you're playing, and then you go sit on the sidelines and put it on, that's just as stupid as going in a restaurant, walking in a restaurant with your mask on, and then taking it off to eat. It's defeating the whole goddamn purpose.
It's a no-win situation.
It is a no-win situation. So it really doesn't matter. Now, of course, we know why they're getting at one more than the other. Because, you know, one is being a little more rebellious than the other. There may be some, you know, a little color issue, you know, which I'm sure. But, you know, I mean, it is what it is, man. I mean, it's to be expected. The man is taking a stance about his whole vaccination status, and he's not running from it. The other cat is running from it. And, you know, but I mean, look at the history of, you know, people like that, man. They run from stuff. As soon as you challenge them, they run from it, and then they circumnavigate it and come up with something different and say, no, that's not it. This is it. So, yeah, he's getting heat for it, but it's no real heat. I feel that they just have to give him heat because of the Kyrie Irving situation. Because if nobody was giving Kyrie heat or too much heat, then they wouldn't be giving him heat either.
Well, here's where I'll
go ahead, Dan. I have to give it to K-Dog. Go ahead, Sean Black.
Okay. One thing that I will say that's a little bit different with the Kyrie situation as opposed to what's happening with Aaron Rodgers is that Kyrie has been staunchly, vocally against getting the vaccine. That's his decision. And as I've said on this show before, I don't think Kyrie is an evil person. I don't think he's some jerk or whatever is the case. I think some of his thinking is a little bit different than others, but I think for the most part, that's his decision as far as that goes. The difference with this and the Rodgers situation is that in the New York area, there was a mandate based on the fact that if you are indoors and playing on in with a team, et cetera, and you want to try and be part of that team, you have to be vaccinated. And if you're not, you can't practice, you can't play with the team. So the decision was kind of taken out of Kyrie's hands. And the league has been in conjunction with that. Is like, well, if you're not vaccinated, you're not going to be playing. You're not going to be practicing with your team. And that's kind of where Kyrie has been. It's like, well, until situation clears up, that's where I'll stand, and that's it. And the team made the decision for him. The NFL, in a completely different situation, has said, look, Aaron Rodgers, he went to the league and said that I did these homeopathic things and all of this other stuff, and I consider myself immunized. And in the eyes of what the CDC looks at as quote unquote being immunized, there is no way to be quote unquote immunized against COVID. You can be vaccinated against it by taking one of the three vaccines, or if you've had COVID, the antibodies that is in your body from naturally having the disease. That's how they look at it on paper from the CDC. And Aaron Rodgers did not do that.
All right, K-Dog, hurry up.
Aaron, first of all, what's up, everybody? Good evening.
Good morning.
With Aaron Rodgers, what he did was careless.
Careless in what way?
Because you could have exposed your teammates to this. And we've seen this happen many times before since this pandemic started. People have showed up, you know, they're like, oh, well, I'm immune. I'm not going to get it. And meanwhile, they catch it. And, you know, they don't realize that they got it. And next thing you know, everybody's exposed. And sometimes people will catch it.
True, but K-Dog, not to cut you off, and to go back to what Brother B said and what Sean said, okay, if everyone is on, if everyone K-Dog is vaccinated, except for Rogers, and he's tested positive and he's spreading around, but that's the reason why people are vaccinated, right, overall. So what is the problem about this? If I'm vaccinated and you're not K-Dog, but you tested positive and you spread it to me, that's the reason why I'm vaccinated, right?
Right.
So what is the problem, right, K-Dog?
The problem is what's going on. The problem is this, is that you said that the thing is you didn't take the, you did not get vaccinated and saying that you're immune to it. But meanwhile, you did test positive, and like Sean said earlier, he's meeting with other people. You don't know who, you exposed a lot of people to this. Due to the fact that you were being careless. That's a careless way to do things.
Careless?
You can't
selfish?
Do that.
Or selfish?
Both. Selfish and careless. I mean, if you're going to sit there and say, okay, yeah, I'm not getting vaccinated, but meanwhile you test positive for it and you're spreading it around, that's crazy. You're not thinking about your teammates. You're not thinking about the danger that you're exposing your teammates to.
So wait a minute.
So
everybody here feels or doesn't feel. Well, let me ask this question. This doesn't seem like another form of discrimination. What I find so interesting how people who are not vaccinated, like how they're looked upon or frowned upon. Like, yo, whatever happened to your just freedom of making your own choices? Like, just like with the whole
freedom of speech.
Everything is being trampled on. Everything is being taken away. And it's like no one, but this is, because we're in a worldwide pandemic. So that gives you the right to take away my rights?
No, nobody's rights should be taken away, because you know what it is? And you're right, and I agree with you with what you said. I agree with you. But unfortunately now, with this pandemic, you know, you have in the offices, you have, you have to be vaccinated in order to work here. You know,
that's the thing. You have to be vaccinated for something that you can still get.
You know what?
That's crazy.
It all comes down to this. Brother B, guess what it all comes down to, brother? It all comes down to the almighty dollar. Because remember, in 2020, when this pandemic started, people were screaming because they couldn't go to this, they couldn't go to that. A lot of businesses closed. And now all of a sudden this vaccine comes in. Hooray, hey, everybody, get the vaccine so we can get back to business.
Oh.
Hooray, get the vaccine. Oh. Come on, I want to do this, I want to do that. Oh, I need to go to this place, I need to go to that place. This state needs to make money.
Sean Black.
Brother B, what I'll do is I'll answer your question in this way. I'm not going to talk about the outside world. I'm going to talk about within the world of the NFL. You've got 32 teams, 52 players. You've got coaches. You've got front office people. A lot of coaches and a lot of front office people are up there in age. Even whether they've been vaccinated or not, you have to assume that everybody isn't. In the mindset of we've still got a COVID situation happening. Everybody, for the betterment of being able to have a business, which is the NFL, to have games, to have people in the stands, everybody's got to be vaccinated. I was just at the Giants game just yesterday. Full of fans, full of people there, having fun, et cetera. Me, I'm wearing my mask. There were a lot of people that were out there that were wearing their masks, but there were people that weren't wearing their masks. But this is what I'll tell you.
It's their choice.
If you're going to say that that's the choice, then the NFL being a private business has the choice to put protocols in place to make the worst workplace safe. Because you can't assume that even though you were taking a vaccine and it's been around since, what, last November. So we're talking about a year that the vaccine has been available. It's been proven to a large degree that the infection rates have gone down for those that have taken the vaccine, and we've seen a decrease in deaths among those that have taken the vaccine, whether you believe in the vaccine mandates or not. You are in a team situation where you are the leader of the team. Regardless of what you feel about the vaccine, if you are the leader of the team, you're supposed to be setting the example to the team of forget about, quote unquote, me. For the betterment of the team, we have to be on the same page. Now, as you've all alluded to, taking the vaccine for most people is a personal choice. But if you're going to take that personal choice, it is your responsibility to know what you can and cannot do so that you do not, one, break protocol, and number two, do not endanger your teammates or anyone else in the facility that's there, because you don't know who isn't vaccinated. The team knows who isn't vaccinated because everybody takes physicals. Everybody has to get tested. Everybody has to know something. So that's the reason why I'm not putting all of this on Aaron Rodgers. The Green Bay Packers as a team has to know what happened because they allowed this to happen. So they should be just as culpable as Aaron Rodgers. And the NFL is culpable enough because they fostered this whole thing to allow it to happen with the team in the first place.
Well, to your point, Sean, but as it's going to be questioned, the vax versus the anti-vax, and Sean and I talk about this all the time, but it seems like the anti-vax are making more noise than the vax. Like, you know what? I got my vaccine. If you want to take it or not, brother, that's your choice. I don't care, you know, overall. But it seems like the anti-vax is going on the conspiracy theories, preaching to us, don't get the vaccine. Why do you take it? You know, you got the microchip or, you know,
Your blood is going to become magnetic. You're going to glow in the dark.
You're going to develop supernatural powers. All the crap.
It's ridiculous. But at the same time.
I wish, because if I could have turned green, oh, man, I would have been smashing a lot of people up.
You're doing your Bruce Banner situation right now.
Yeah, thank you.
But bottom line is, this is a crazy situation. It's ongoing. And Sean Black, do you think the NFL should suspend Rodgers before we move on to our next topic?
Of course, because he lied about what he was supposed to be doing, period.
But that's why you just said that the NFL, Green Packers, they're responsible. They knew about it. They allowed this to happen. So why should he be suspended? If the NFL,
you want to know why?
Knew about this.
They have to make an example of the situation regardless of,
exactly.
Like I said before, there's culpability all around. But you want to know something? If Aaron Rodgers, I'm going to go on a worst case scenario. Let's say Aaron Rodgers, he got COVID, and he passed it along to, say, the owner's daughter, or he passed it along to the head coach and the coach didn't know about it and he got his wife or he got his family infected and they unfortunately passed away. What's the actual issue there? The issue is, if you're not going to be vaccinated, follow the protocol so that you can limit and mitigate anything bad happening. Nobody is saying that because you're vaccinated, you can't still get infected. We know that. There are breakthrough cases out there. But at the same time, you cannot brazenly break that protocol and lie through your face to your teammates. to the team, to the league, and more importantly, to the fans, because the fans paid money to see you play, and you lied and said that you were, quote-unquote, immunized. You got COVID.
Mm-hmm.
You missed a game.
And
what happened? Your team lost. That's money out of the pockets of those fans who were looking for a good game. And then the ratings will drop because you're not there.
And yes,
I think they'd be more mad. I think they'd be more mad if he lost than his vaccination status.
You're probably right. But the thing is, those people that paid money to see Aaron Rodgers, they got screwed out of it because of his negligence. That's why.
Yes. And because of that, Brother B,
I agree.
Like Sean said, the team lost yesterday to another bad team.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was just embarrassing. But on to the next topic, talk about the vaccine. This is like a little bit personal topic for me as well because I'm a father of two young ones. Just last week, Pfizer has been approved for emergency use of ages of 5 to 11. My kids are, I don't know what my kids' ages are. They're under 11. That's all I know. But besides that.
Father of the year, my friend. Father of the
year. Oh, my goodness.
Exactly.
You know.
Bottom line is, they, like I said, the vaccine has been approved. My wife and I had talked about it. And the question is, should the kids be vaccinated with the Pfizer vaccine right now? That's a very big topic for me because I don't know the right answer to say. And you guys know why. It's like, should they? Do I want them? Yes. But at the same time, I don't want them to get the vaccine because we don't know what's going to happen long term with us. Let's be honest. I know Sean is a big praiser of the vaccine, but you know what? We might turn zombies about 10 years from now, or whether it be my turn green 5 years from now. We don't know. But we are adults, and our body reacts differently. But with kids, even though they are getting a smaller dose of the vaccine, I'm more concerned about, since we talk about mandates for the job and sports, sooner or later, school will make this as a mandate. I know they did it before with many other vaccines, but now, Brother B, do you think the kids at these ages should be receiving the vaccine?
Okay. Only reason why I got the vaccine is because my daughter had to get it for school, and she was like, "Dad, would you come with me?" And I said, "Sure, I'll go."
Aww.
The thing that turned me off and made me nervous was the fact that after the first shot, she said she felt a little achy. She felt, you know, a little tired and stuff like that. Meanwhile, I didn't feel anything. That's what bothered me. Because God forbid if something would have happened to her and not to me. Like, yo, I would have been looking
for the role. You would never forgive
yourself. I would have been right at the C. I would have been at the CDC's front door. Mm-hmm. I would have been front page news. So, it's a very sensitive situation, which I caution whoever's listening. I caution: be careful what you say and how you say it, unless you're a parent, because no one wants to be put through that type of pain.
Mm-hmm.
And even to the people who are parents, who some just, I don't care, let's just get it done, getting vaccinated, this, that, and the third. Listen, I'm not for it. I'm not against it. Is that your discretion? But like I said, kids that young, you know how kids are, man. They turn around, I feel fine. Yet your nose is running, you're doing this. Oh, I feel fine. Because of course they don't want to miss out on stuff. Meanwhile, they're not.
Of course,
fine.
Yes.
You never know. And I have to say, to be honest with you, I'm really not for it, man. I'm really, it makes me nervous.
But now, I have to be devil's advocate, Brother B. Yes, you're not for it. But remember, we're still in a pandemic. Kids are still vulnerable. Kids are going to classes right now. Even though the mask mandate is in effect, it's not guaranteed. You have to take weekly testing. Like my son take weekly testing. You know what? Anything could happen, and that's the problem. It's like Russian roulette. You know, you might hit the target or not. Who knows?
You know what? If I have to take it far left, police are still shooting people. Heart attacks are still happening. AIDS is still running wild. Like, there's so many things that are still happening. But, you know what I'm saying? There's so many other things that are going on, the flu, you know, other cases of other disease. There's so many other things that are going on, but right now we're focused on this because it's what's trending and going on right now. We had some serious stuff going on, just, of course, out of nowhere, because I still don't believe somebody talk about, oh, this just mutated. Stop it. Anyway.
No.
Yeah, we had a situation last year. We're starting to get back to whatever normal, because shit wasn't normal before. Because we were just basically just normalizing all the crap that was going on in the world. So, of course, we needed a reality check. And 2020 was the reality check. So now people now kind of want to get back to the normal of the BS, but no, it shouldn't be allowed. Me, listen, like I said before, and I'll say again, if I know that I'm not vaccinated, then I'm wearing my mask 24/7. That's just that. But the whole thing is, I am vaccinated, and I can still be a carrier and still give it to somebody. So what does that really say?
Yeah. Sean Black?
Well, speaking of somebody that doesn't have any children, so I don't have any skin in the game.
Wait, Sean Black, same here, man. Wait, when
same
I said
here.
That, I don't want anybody to take that the wrong way, because I said for people who don't have kids and people who do have kids, too.
Oh, I definitely understand where you're coming from, because I always temper any opinion that I have with fact and some kind of empathy. Because knowing you can look at it pragmatically from the standpoint of, well, it's vaccines and science, et cetera, et cetera. And I'm always, for the most part, on the ideals of science and doctors, and they would know more so than me or somebody in that aspect or somebody on TikTok that's going to tell you X, Y, and Z. But I also know at the same time, as there are parents and on this show, there's always that mindset that, am I doing the right thing for my child? And that's something that only a parent would know. So in that sense, it's just like anything else. You do your research. You ask as many questions as you can. If you don't like the answers to the question, you ask more questions and you get as much information as possible. But we also know what a lot of people don't want to either acknowledge, or they're getting a lot of information from a lot of different sources that aren't the sources of, say, a doctor, a scientist, a virologist, anyone along those lines, is that the best way to try to get ahead of this is either having herd immunity, people being vaccinated, or people, unfortunately, that have had the virus, then build up some sort of immunity after they've gotten sick. Those are the only ways to get ahead of this. And the last time that I checked, we still have over 750,000 people dead from this virus in this country. So it's hard to know when you have a child, does that vaccine, is it going to really help? Is it going to be too strong for a young immune system that's still developing? And then I'll go back on the argument that I have with another friend of mine that I've talked to off air with, where when you're a child, before you can go to Head Start, kindergarten, you got to get vaccinated for mumps, rubella, all of those diseases.
Chicken pox,
smallpox, any of those diseases. Now, it's going to be at some point after we've had some time the same way, because eventually these vaccines are going to be refined It's going to take some time, and then we're going to get to the point where you're going to get inoculated from COVID when you're a baby when we get to that point. We haven't gotten there yet. So we know this is going to be the step going forward. Now,
sure, and once again, oh, I'm sorry.
Right.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, overall, this is still new to all of us.
Yes.
There's still a lot of research that needs to be done. But this is how, for adults to be vaccinated, that's how we know what's working and what's not working. You know, I'm sure they're not made the vaccines to kill us all. If that was the case, we'd be dead right now. You know,
and even more if that was the case, why would the first people that got the vaccine, the people that are taking care of the ones that are sick in the first place? That wouldn't make any sense.
Healthcare workers.
You're right about that because you know what it is?
Okay, dog.
You know what happened? They've been doing this research for the longest, and like you said, and I know there's a lot of other diseases out there that are just as deadly as this one. But this one, it's like this, oh, yeah, you can catch it from people. I'm like, true. But also when it comes to the children, it's kind of like very, how could I say it, like, it's delicate because, you know, I myself, I'm not a parent either, but, you know, a lot of parents that I've spoken to have a lot of concerns about this when it comes to their kids.
Mm-hmm.
Have a lot of concerns. They have a lot of questions.
So check this out real quick. So the two things that make this so deadly is, first of all, it's airborne. Second, it mutates. So like I said, if me and my daughter took the shot at the same time, she caught a fever. She had a little fever. So, you know, I was nervous as hell because I was fine. But she had, you know, what may not happen with one kid could happen with another. And God forbid. Because I don't want to hear that, oh, well, that's just collateral damage. If anything happens to any children from this vaccine, trust me, it's going to prove a point to the anti-vaxxers. It's going to prove a point.
Yeah, because Sean Black.
That's why a lot of parents I speak to, they have a lot of concerns about this. They're like,
because you're damn.
We have a right to be concerned. True. These are our kids.
Because Sean Black, if it happened to adults, which I'm sure it had, you know what? You might not hear about it. You might hear one or two cases, no problem. But like Brother B said, well, you just need one or two child for it to happen, all hell will break loose. You know, that's with the Johnson vaccine will be nothing compared to one child that's been affected by the vaccine. But a quick turnaround of topic. I want to reflect back to Brother B's show last week on the menu right here on Blog Talk Radio Tuesday night. We had a topic similar of like hard stops when you're dating someone, I believe, or something like that last week. Sean Black, if you're on a date and you see something not right, what's the first sign for you that's telling you the date is not going on right? This is guy's talk. This is guy's session. We have no females there to help us tonight. So you know what? Let's have a guy's session right now.
All right. Okay.
So you said the first sign that the date is going wrong.
Yeah. Like, what's your heart sound like? Okay, for example, for me that I want to tell Brother B last week was, it may sound weird, but if I'm taking a girl out, not like a friend, a girl I'm just trying to know her and everything, I'm taking her out to a restaurant. She's ordering an appetizer, surf and turf, some expensive drink. So she's going all out on the first date. That's a bad sign for me, but to me, that sounds like a sign of a gold digger right away, or she's hungry for something. Because you're going out on a first date trying to know somebody, you don't try to kill the guy's wallet like that. You know, you wait till the third or fourth date to kill the guy's wallet, you know. But you get to know him, and you order surf and turf, appetizers, dessert, three glasses of expensive champagne. I'm like, oh, hold on. Time out. You're killing my EBT card right now. You know what I'm saying? Hold on. So that'd be like a hard
If you're on a first date and you're using an EBT card, that's probably a sign that you're not going to have a second date, okay? Unless you're going out there and you're going to get Wick Milk as the drink of choice, there's something's wrong here. I think if you're looking at a date and you're saying, well, oh, we got good conversation, everything is cool, everything is fine, I think most guys would probably say, you know what, this may be a little bit expensive, but if I'm having fun and she's having fun and we're having a nice conversation, we're laughing, everything is fine, that's one concession you're probably going to make, depending on what it is. Now, I'm not saying you go on a date and then the next thing you know, you spent like $4,000 on dinner. I mean, like, that's insanity. But I think if you're on a date and, you, like I said before, conversation is really good, you have a lot in common, there's an attraction, you both enjoy each other's company, the male or whoever is paying for it is not going to care to an extent how much they're paying, especially if the night is fun. Now, the main thing that you hear about when people complain about this is if the date was bad. If there was, oh, she didn't laugh at my jokes. Oh, her breath smelled. Oh, he talked about his the whole time. Oh, there's something wrong. If there was a situation where you're dating and those things, those little nagging things that pop up on a date that can turn someone off, whether it's the male or the female or whoever is going on the date and is initiating, well, I invited you on the date, let's go and have fun. If those things pop up and the date is bad, then on top of that, you're complaining about you're paying too much for dinner? That's a bad recipe from the beginning.
Oh, my goodness.
Sean Black, you know me. If I'm on a date and the girl brought sticks, you know I will pop a mint in front of her right now. Like, listen, girl. I'm trying to save your life.
For me, I'll just kind of tell her like this. I'm like, hey, I have some Altoids here. You want some?
Altoids, wow. But, Brother B, anything you'd like to add on from last week?
I mean, not really. I mean, listen, it's just surprising enough for dudes to actually still want to take chicks out and chicks actually want to go out and be reasonable when it comes down to ordering. I mean, if you're taking a woman out somewhere, it's best that you choose the place. You should know, you know, what you can do within reason financially, because
exactly.
You just have to assume the worst. You have to assume that they're going to order the most expensive thing on the freaking
mm-hmm.
menu,
or so
you know,
why
order
it
because
that
they,
way?
Because it's a, te- it's a test. It's a test.
Well, don't even
you know, it's a test. Well, it's a test. It's a test on two ends. One, they want to see, you know, what you're going to do or what you're going to say. Like, if you're going to have an attitude when you order these, if they order these things. And they're also testing, you know, your finances, man. I mean, they want to see what you're working with, because, you know, they
mm-hmm.
want to see if, you know, if you'll be able to hold it down, you know, for them if this thing goes any further. You know, they want to see what you're made of.
But like Sean said, if you're having a good conversation, you have a good time, why does the woman need to tell your financials out to see if you have money or not? You know,
because.
Isn't that part of the female ego going on?
Of course, but it's the same thing with a dude who's thinking like, yeah, I'm smashing either tonight or on the next date. You know, I'm spending this money, I'm doing this, I'm doing that, I got to get something in return. I'm looking for something in return.
Yeah, but it's not like that.
Not all dudes. I mean, me personally, listen, I'm going to take you somewhere where I know, like, all right, if you order the most expensive thing, I'm going to be good. I'm going to make sure my pockets are straight, and, you know, we're going to go from there. But like I said, it's just a test. It's a test of your resolve, man. Some of them want to see how far they can go with you. They want to see what stuff they can pull before you say, stop that.
So why are we playing, K-Dog, to Brother B's statement, why are we playing this type of game? Let me see what I could do with her, and she see what can she do with a guy. Like, basically, what can we get away with? That's what it seems like.
You know what it is? You know what it is? The whole thing with dating is to see what the other person is worth. It's, you know, you'll have some women out there. They're gonna want to see what you're working with, and they'll order, like you said, they'll order the most expensive. Like, damn, woman, you're trying to make my pockets dry. I ain't even carry enough money. I carried enough that I can't carry, but yet you're trying to leave me dry something? And the thing is, it's all a test. Like, some women, they're gonna pull the, you know, finance thing, like, let me see what he's working with. And, you know, they'll try to, you know, get the most expensive, you know, the most expensive place. And you're like, huh? And it catches you by surprise. And nine times out of ten, it catches you by surprise. It's all like, it's all like the song says, it's all in the game.
Yeah, but well, if you know you can afford it, you can afford it. Why go on a date?
Be honest about it. And you know what it is? And some guys, and I hate to say this, sometimes we let this happen, but okay, be honest about if you can't afford it. There's no shame in saying, you know what, I'd rather go to, you know, let's go to this place. You pick the place that you want to take her to, and...
K-Dog, why aren't you listening to the show? Yeah, why aren't you listening to the show? You heard what they said. Oh, I ain't going. Don't take me to no Red Lobster. Oh, I ain't going.
No,
ahead.
They ain't.
I ain't
exactly.
Going there.
They were, well, those
so,
women, the women on the show, when I got
hungry.
From it, was no Red Lobster, no Applebee's, Olive Garden. They want something fancy.
Mm-hmm. But, guys, remember back then when we was in college and all that stuff, we was making out. Where did we go? To Olive Garden, to Dallas BBQ's, to
right.
Applebee's.
But times
those
have changed, man.
Spots.
Those are no longer date spots because a lot of people don't like it because, you know what, they'll say like this, what, you think I'm back in high school or something? Because it's like my kids take, you know, take their dates there.
Well,
like,
you know, whatever happened to good food in a nice time?
Oh, that's gone, right. Man. Brother B, what have I been saying all along? Love don't live here no more, man. It's not about the good times no more.
Because me personally, especially, and I'm sure Hot Rod agrees, I think BBQ still has that, like, 32-ounce.
What?
What?
Oh,
yo,
man, that's
I'm on my way. If you don't like it, I will go by myself. Like, damn you. like who are you?
No, but you know what? And it depends on the person, too, because sometimes some people are like, they don't mind going to those places, but not everybody thinks alike. Not everybody thinks that way.
But you also have to remember a lot of guys take women to a lot of places that they think, because that's what they were taught, that the women that they're dating would actually want to go to. When all they have to do is ask them, what are you into? What kind of... And, a lot of women, if they are interested in a guy, they say, take the lead. Where do you want to take me? It's your choice.
Sean,
where do you want to go?
I'm sorry, Sean. Sean, the worst question to ever ask a woman, what do you want to eat or where do you want to eat? 99% don't know. They don't know what they want to eat. I'm so sorry, Sean. I disagree with you on that one. And I guarantee you, if I bring that question on the show tomorrow night, they will have a big cat fight about it.
Oh, man,
I can tell you right now. I can call the wife right now and be like, what do you want to eat for dinner tomorrow? By dinner time tomorrow, she still wouldn't know. Let me order something.
What?
And she'll be like, oh, I didn't want that.
Yeah,
but you didn't want anything. You didn't know what you wanted. Made an executive decision. Well, I didn't want that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I guess you won't eat.
Mm-hmm. So, Sean,
my goodness.
If you take a woman out, you have to make that decision because you give them that option, it will lead to an argument, and you will cancel the date. Guarantee it. You know. Let me go ask my wife right now. What does she want to eat for dinner tomorrow night? I probably going to end up spending $200 for because I'm getting it from three different places. Just try it out.
You know what I think? You know what I'm noticing? There's this. It's like seafood is the thing right now. See, I'm allergic to shellfish.
Yes.
So I don't do it. But women really like that shellfish, that lobster and crab thing.
You know why?
So they don't want to go anywhere with chicken. They don't want chicken.
No.
They want seafood.
No, women love selfish because they are selfish themselves. That's why. Selfish love selfish, okay?
Or you can do what I do.
And
there you go.
Whatever. On that note, guys, brothers, Sean Black, Brother B, and Cable. Thank you
so
much.
Oh, man.
Have a good night.
Yo, you have a good night, y'all.
Yeah, have a good night. Be safe,
yeah,
y'all.
The
pleasure was all...
Yeah, I don't know.
Tomorrow night.
Yeah. 9 p.m.
All
right. That was funny. Selfish.
Oh, man.
I got to use that.
I guess we're going to see t-shirts made of that one. Of course.
Man. Yeah, You know what? You got a good idea,
man.
Like this. All right.
Later,
y'all.
Oh, man.